This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim in the studio this morning. We've got a poll running on Twitter right now. Is there enough broad-based support for Youth Party? With 70% of the vote right now, yes, we need new faces. 8% saying no, age doesn't matter. 19% saying not sure, need more information. Right now, we're taking a look at the Insolvency Act, though. Earlier this week, it was amended and aimed at... The Insolvency Amendment Bill 2020 was passed, aimed at amending the Insolvency Act of 1967, and it was passed with a simple voice majority in Dewan Rakyat. The bill will increase the minimum debt threshold from 50,000 ringgit to 100,000 ringgit. And we've seen we've seen bankruptcies become a bigger issue or more a bigger concern over the last few weeks. So for more insights on this, we speak to Lua Aisyu, a lawyer with Su Tian Ming and Nazra. Thank you for joining us today. The government has amended Section 5 of Act 360 to raise the minimum bankruptcy threshold from 50,000 to 100,000 ringgit. What does this mean for the layperson, and what might the effect be?
After the minimum threshold has become law, it means only creditors who are owed 100,000 ringgit or more may present a bankruptcy petition against the debtor in court to make him a bankrupt. Currently, a person may be adjudged a bankrupt based on a debt of not less than 50,000 ringgit. Social stigma aside, once declared a bankrupt, a person's assets would vest in the Director General of Insolvency, DGI. The DGI will take over the properties and affairs of the bankrupt. The banks will generally not allow a bankrupt to operate a bank account. A bankrupt has to surrender his passport to the DGI, and he must obtain permission from the DGI to travel overseas. It was reported that as of December 2018, there were over 300,000 bankruptcy cases handled by the Insolvency Department throughout Malaysia. This is a loss to the country as the productivity and revenue of the country is adversely affected.
Will this make it harder for creditors to pursue their debts?
Once the amendment takes effect, it is not open to creditors who are owed less than 100,000 to pursue bankruptcy proceedings against a debtor. I don't think this makes it harder for creditors to pursue their debts. It just means that they have one less option if the debt owed is less than 100,000 ringgit.
And what about those who have been declared bankrupt during the MCU period up until now?
The amendment will have no effect on those who have been declared bankrupt during the MCO period up until now. It also has no effect on bankruptcy petitions, which are now pending in court, based on the existing minimum threshold of 50,000 ringgit. The law does not take effect retrospectively. It's not backdated. There is a saving provision in the bill, which will become the Act. It says that any bankruptcy petition presented by the petitioning creditor against the debtor before the coming into operation of this Act, with amount of debt owing by the debtor to the creditor that fulfills the requirement in Section 5, Bracket 1, Bracket A of the Principal Act, which is still pending immediately before the coming into operation of this Act, shall be continued or concluded under the Principal Act, as if the Principal Act had not been amended by this Act. But then the bankruptcy will not take place immediately. As I said earlier, normally the creditor will obtain a judgment first before they proceed with the bankruptcy.
And trying to get a sense of what's happening on the ground, have you observed an increase of insolvency cases since the start of the MCO?
Our firm has not yet observed an increase of insolvency cases since MCO. Normally, creditors will pursue civil action in court, obtain a judgment, then only proceed with bankruptcy proceedings based on the judgment. So it will take at least a few months before the effect kicks in.
Now, what other measures can the government look into to assist those who have been declared bankrupt during this period?
For those who have been declared bankrupt during this period, the law will take its course. Therefore, the government must assist the people to weather the economic effects of COVID-19 restrictions before they are made bankrupt. In this regard, the minister in the Prime Minister's department, Datuk Taqiyuddin Hassan, when tabling the bill for second reading, said, raising the bankruptcy threshold would allow debtors to avoid being declared as bankrupts. In addition to other economic initiatives, the government helps by, among others, introducing this bankruptcy amendment law, besides introducing temporary measures for reducing the impact of COVID-19 bill, as well as ministerial directives to increase the minimum statutory amount for winding up cases from 10,000 to 50,000 ringgit and lengthen the period of winding up notice from 21 days to 6 months.
Can you walk us through the process of how one gets discharged as a bankrupt?
A bankrupt may obtain a discharge in three ways. Firstly, by obtaining a court order under Section 33 of the Insolvency Act 1967. Secondly, by obtaining a certificate from the DGI under Section 33A. This is available with effect from 1999. And in 2017, there is another way how a bankrupt may obtain discharge, which is an automatic discharge under Section 33C. The new Section 33C provides for an automatic discharge of the bankruptcy after 3 years from submitting the bankrupt statement of affairs and subject to him achieving the target contribution set by the DGI and having rendered an account of monies and property to the DGI. The creditors can object to this automatic discharge, but there were only limited specific grounds they may raise.
Thank you for joining us this morning. That was Luo Aisiu, a practicing lawyer with Mrs. Su Thieng Ming and Nazra, and really just trying to break down the landscape of bankruptcy, right? And actually, 3 weeks ago, I did a Ringing and Sense episode with Nirmala Subramaniam of AKPK, and talking about the impacts of bankruptcy. That was when this first came up in Parliament, whether the bankruptcy law should be amended to help cater for the current environment that we're in. So if you want to check that out, look for Bankruptcy Basics, Impacts and Why and Way Out on our BFM app or on Spotify.
Yeah, in a few months' time, I will see the full brunt of a number of insolvency cases, right? Right now, it's too short because I think people have to go through a process of declaring anyone insolvent. So I think maybe towards the end of the year, we'll start to see maybe a sharp increase in insolvency cases. But on a personal level, for anyone who has been declared bankrupt and looking at the measures for them how to get discharged, it appears that it might take quite a long time. Either you go through a court process, which might take forever, or you wait for automatic discharge, but that can also be disputed by the creditor, and that is a 3-year wait. It can be a long time for some people. It's a lifetime wait, right? What happens to your life? You cannot invest, you cannot borrow money, and that's the personal side of that mental health cost of it.
Yeah, I really do encourage you to take a listen to that Ring and Sense episode, because we did cover a few things and all these implications. And Nirmala was telling me that they saw a surge of people going to AKPK, and this ranged from anything from checking their credit scores to asking for help. And AKPK is there for that, right? It's that middle ground before bankruptcy. If you have any debt issues, you have any concerns with your finances, that's what this agency is for. And they do it for free. This is a very important note, because there are actually scams of of people going around saying that, oh, if you pay me this much, I can get you help at AKPK, or you pay your installments through me. Make sure you go to the agency itself to get that information. And a lot of people, I think 15,000 new individuals signed up for the Credit Counseling and Debt Management Agency's program, the Debt Management Program, at the end of June. That's a significant, that's an increase there. And anything from financial planning, poor financial planning, to high cost of living, these were some of the reasons that were cited.
Yeah, so, this thing also about bankruptcy, giving people some support, because one of the things you want to encourage entrepreneurship, but of course, responsible entrepreneurship. And so making it easier for people to come back, get back onto their feet can be one way to make it easier for people to, get into business and stay in business.
And not to mention, when this all has a social stigma around it, right? Because there is this element of, you failed if you end up in bankruptcy. But there are so many reasons someone can end up in bankruptcy that are beyond your control. Example, case in point, the last few months, right? Mm-hmm. And what's going to be, I think I'm personally watching is when the loan moratorium, the blanket loan moratorium ends.
The honeymoon ends.
When that ends, you go into a targeted loan moratorium. What happens to anyone who is not applicable for the targeted loan moratorium and is facing financial hardship? I think that's when we're going to really see the impacts of that on the loan sector there. But right now, we're going into a few messages and then the 8 a.m. news bulletin followed by the Breakfast Grill. Well, I'll be speaking with Johnny Chow, founder and CEO of Best Inc. Now, to take you there, a song from Mercedes-Benz. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.